change his face. You put a woman's back against the wall.
Do it on my own, do it on my own.
What you think she gonna do?
Do it on my own.
I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own.
No, I don't.
Hey, ladies and gents, welcome to episode 8 of Mommy and Wild Black, hosted by me, your girl LT. You already know I'm from New Orleans, currently living in Houston, raising a 4-year-old prince. On this podcast, you know we talk about the butterfly effects of relationships, health, spirituality, and self-worth. Today, we are definitely leaning all the way in on what we're talking about, which is raising good humans. We're going to talk about how to vibrate higher in this episode and just love in general. So my guest that I have on today is Yoli. She was previously on a prior episode, which you should definitely check out, episode 5. I think that's by far my favorite episode from the podcast so far. Yoli is the CEO of Freedom Architects. And what she works with is guiding entrepreneurs and business owners to harmony in all areas of their life. Her tagline, which I love, is balance is basic. Balance is basic. We talk a lot about work-life balance, how to achieve that, and balance is basic. And so what she's going to talk about, or what we're going to get into today, is just how to get that done, creating boundaries in all areas of your life. But being the best version of yourself in all areas of your life. That includes work, your marriage, being a parent. So Yoli, I'll let you jump in.
Hey, hey, yes, thank you so much. I'm gonna just say I love sharing the mic. I ain't gonna say stage, but I love sharing the mic with you. It's always, always a pleasure. So thank you for sharing your platform with me, which I love, I totally appreciate the topics and subject matter that you bring to the forefront. They're much needed conversations. So hats off and salute to you, sis, first and foremost. But yeah, like she said, she did a perfect introduction. So I am a boy mom. I have two brilliant, amazing sons, Legend, who is 14, an aspiring Michelin 5-star chef, and Honor, who is 10, who is also just brilliant, super creative, can make anything out of a box. He is a game creator and gamer. That is what his passion is. And I'm also a wife of approaching 14 years. And a business owner. So yeah, that's what I'm doing here. So my whole platform is really about us chasing mediocrity, which is what I believe balance is. When you think about what you envision and what you picture, when you think of balance, it doesn't look harmonious. It looks like someone overwhelmed, stressed, doing too much, who has not assigned values to the most important areas of their lives, and who do not have any boundaries to protect said values, right? So that's what I love. That's what I want to talk about. I believe that's where freedom lies, is in being able to do that. And so I'm happy to be talking here today.
Great. Thanks, Yoli. That was a great spill on everything that you do. I love the piece where you talk about mediocrity. And in today's episode of Mommy and Wild Black, we want to focus on the discussion around the Black father and the Black son in particular. Not that daughters don't matter, because they do. And what that looks like. It's interesting because my household, I'm a single mother and I have a 4-year-old son. And Yoli's household, she's married and has two boys who are becoming teenagers for all intents and purposes on their way to becoming, you know, young adults. And so what I want to talk about, and we'll definitely continue this topic and at some point have on some male guests so that we can get that male perspective. But talking about what or how fathers can be present in terms of through our lens, being more present with their sons. This all started from a discussion to be completely transparent, that I was having with Yoli as it relates to my own son and the environment that my son is in. I currently am co-parenting with my child's father, and I'm gonna be completely honest. Co-parenting is not easy. It is not for the faint of heart. It is not for the faint of heart. You have to be able to communicate. You have to use active listening. And I'm gonna be honest, sometimes I just wanna check out the conversation. Sometimes I'm just quiet. I don't say anything. And that might be a version of checking out the conversation. But every discussion is always around Bam, my son. How we can be more present for Bam. How can we be better for Bam? What's the best for him? What's in the best interest of him? And one of those things that's always at the center of my conversation with my child's father is presence. How present he is with our son. And that's what brought me to this discussion today with Yoli. And immediately when we started kind of getting into it, I said, flag on the play, let's stop. Let's like have a discussion about this and make it a podcast episode. So here we are. So what I want to talk about, or first thing I want to talk about, is just presence. From my lens, from my perspective, and I will definitely say mine. For me, I grew up with my father in the picture, but I grew up in a house of domestic violence. There was a lot of domestic violence. There was a lot of trauma in that household. There was a lot of trauma bonds that resulted out of growing up in that type of environment. And I want to make sure that I'm not projecting or ever putting any of that on my son. Nevertheless, I also recognize that my dad was there all the time. He went to work, he came home, he did his other things on the side, whatever those things were, which is not a topic for this conversation, but he was there. As I've grown up, I have 6 brothers. I have a lot of male friends, and I watch men from all varying degrees. I've seen the men who are present in the household and they go to work. I've seen the ones that are present in the household and they don't work. They on PlayStation, but they got children. I've seen the ones that they are not present physically there, but they send money. They make sure that their money is there. I might not be able to be there, but my money is always there. They're always financially taken care of. And I can't help but think that so many of our young males are growing up at a disadvantage in terms of having that real relationship with their father, that relationship where there is quality over quantity, that the time that's spent is there. But that a lot of times we focus on quality over quantity, but in some aspects, and I believe in this one, quantity matters just as much. How much time you're spending with that child matters a lot, especially when they're young at a young age. I feel that they need more of that. They need that for their development. They need that for their own social interactions, right? With society, with other individuals, with their parents. So that's definitely something that I want to talk about to start off, is what Yoli coined it as, is investment over proximity. So Yoli, I'm gonna go ahead and let you jump in.
Absolutely. I think oftentimes, because of the generational discord, right? So I think a lot of times, unfortunately, my experience as well, is that men tend to think that proximity is enough. Right? But proximity is not presence. So to physically be in a place is that you are there. To be present means that you are engulfed, you are invested, you are going to make sure that your presence is felt and known. You make yourself a welcome and open space. And so we also, like you said, I love that you said that, we feel like our paper equals our presence also, and it does not, right? There are tons of people. We see it in affluent families all the time. right, where there is always money, but that doesn't mean the parents are present. Mm-hmm. There's a father who is working crazy, making a great living for his family. Then he has the wife. And unfortunately, I've seen this as well because of the school that we decided to put our sons in. The mothers themselves aren't actually present, right? They also infuse mm-hmm. that. So where is your child being enriched? So for the sake of conversation, when we're talking about our Black men, it's so easy to throw your paper at a situation. The most valuable commodity we have as human beings is our time. You can always spend 100 and make 100, but you can't always spend 60 minutes and get them back, right? Mm-hmm. So when you're thinking about your time, you need to think about your time like you think about your money. And I've seen oftentimes where a parent, a father is present physically, but he doesn't make himself available to his children. He doesn't let his children know, hey, not only am I here, but I am available, right? And that is something I have oftentimes, you know, in all transparency, had to express to my husband, who I love dearly. But just having to express to him, like, you know, there's been conversations and he'd say things like, but I'm here. And I said, I understand that you're here. And frankly, I said, so is this fly. This fly being in the room is serving what purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's easy to be in a space. It's easy. If I walk into a room and I just stand there, I never open my mouth, I never shake a hand, I never make eye contact, how does anyone around me know that I am available and approachable? No one knows that, right? So you have to think about what value it is that you're bringing to any space and environment that you're in as a human, and even more amplified, honestly, in your role as a parent. God gifted you these children to steward. You can't steward something by standing and looking at it. You can't steward a garden by looking at it. You have to get your hands dirty. You got to dig in deep. You got to pull up weeds. You got to protect the root. You have to give it feed. You have to nurture that thing. Because what happens, it withers and it dies. So will your relationship with people. Right? You can't get on the phone and just hold the phone and breathe and say you were there. That's nothing. I can sit in a room by myself and have nothing and have airwaves, right? So stop thinking that your physical presence is actually providing anything. That's not sufficient. And I get it. You weren't taught. But if you know you weren't taught, you have to first recognize it was something that you desired, that you needed, and it is your job to go out and find the resources necessary to help you be present. And oftentimes that means dealing with your own trauma, dealing with your own issues, dealing with your daddy issues, your mommy issues, your social issues, fill in the blank, right? But we have to be able to get ourselves to a place of wholeness in order for us to show up and be able to serve in any capacity that's worth the experience.
Okay, exactly. Exactly. That is a lot. You said so much in that moment just now. And one of the key things that I took away, outside of several things, the word enrichment, right? And what does it mean to enrich your child's life? What does it mean to, because money is one way of providing, right? Money is one way of affording your child a particular type of lifestyle, or allowing them to have, affording them the ability to engage in a certain experience, whether that's traveling, whether that's, engaging in extracurricular activities, sports, things like that. Money does help with that, right? But there's also that time aspect, like you said, right? Enriching a child's life, the ability to share your time as a mother, as a father. When you, and I'm glad you said something about investment versus proximity, because there are a lot of times, and I'm gonna keep it all the way 100. I have a very, very, very demanding job. And Yoli can attest to this. Other of my friends can attest to this, that there have been times where we have got on our weekly calls and I'm extremely emotional. And they're like, how was your day, Lala? How was this going? And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, it was a rough day. It was a rough day. This happened. This was this. Bam had this going on. My job is on my ass about this. I'm not where I need to be with my numbers. I'm trying to get this done. And oftentimes feeling very weighted that if I give so much time to this, I'm neglecting this. There have been times where my child has been standing right next to me and is like, and I've talked about this on my episode of Mommy Guilt. I think it was like episode 2 or something or 3, where my child is standing there and I'm like, hey, give me 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I'm about to finish this email and I haven't. And so I may be very close to my child in proximity, but investment, I'm not investing enough in him at that time. I may not be investing in him at all in today, because it's not enough to just, okay, I picked my child up from school and that's it. You know, it's about that time. And perfect example, picking up my child from school. I could choose to play music. I could choose to be on my phone, or I could choose to sit in the car and engage with my child. Whether he's at the level of communication where we can be conversational like we are right now or not, you know, and, yeah. but not to mistake myself or give me a false sense of security in that thinking that the hour ride that I did that, it was enough. I've invested, I've enriched my child's life. I have shown him that I'm present. That's not, you know, kids need to be loved on. They need to be hugged. They need to be told that they're loved. And I'm not saying, let me make this very clear. I am not saying that my child's father is an absent father. I am not saying that he does not enrich our son's lives and things like that. When he has his son, I don't see what's going on over there, but I know that their relationship is developing, because I remember my son at one point when we first split and how he would be when we would go over there and I drop him off. And now I see where he's at now, you know, and so that's maturity on both sides. Bam's getting older, Marcel's getting older, his dad, but he's also learning his son as well. And, you know, so there's some growth in that place. But one of the things that I read was that the key to enriching a child's life is, you know, to share your time, and not just sharing your time, but sharing what you love with them, sharing what your passions are. And to be able to do that means that you have to have a conversation. And so one of the other ways, and we'll get back to that in a second, that I want to talk about is the importance of allowing children to, especially young boys, to express emotions. And I'm bringing this up as a topic that we're gonna, or as a subtopic within this topic, because one of the things that my child's father said to me the other day was that he needs to understand when is a time to cry and when's not a time to cry. And I did not lean into that and go back and forth and banter back and forth with him on that, because for me, from my perspective, we have a 4-year-old. He's a toddler. For the last 18 months, right, you've been quarantined. You've not been around children other than his cousin, who is 2 years almost older than him, whenever they would meet. So you don't have that social interaction, the interaction that you was having prior to the pandemic. Additionally, he doesn't have other siblings around to see what that looks like, how to respond to a particular type of stimulus. And so his response in his space, also because language, he's in speech therapy, he's in a limited space with language right now. There's only going to be so much that he can do to express himself outside of emotions, outside of crying, outside of laughing, jumping up and down, that. And so I look at it like that's how he's responding right now is appropriate for his age. But in thinking about that, it got me into a space where I was like, you know what? This is a problem. This is why Black men grow up and don't know how to say, I love you. They don't feel that they can express their emotions. They feel like they have to keep things bottled in or they have to hide. That's why they're despondent. That's why there's so much miscommunication in marriages and relationships in general with men on the job, with their friends, whatever that is, because we are teaching our young boys at a young age that, hey, that's, you know, that's feminine, right? Energy to cry. That's feminine energy to go and sit down and pout or fall out or, you know, whatever that is. I think that there's a different range of emotions when you're at a certain age. If you have a 15-year-old that's crying over everything, I mean, we got to look at what are they crying over? Maybe they broke up in a relationship, or maybe they're a straight A student and they got their first F in life. Maybe that warrants them being able to cry, and we shouldn't be in a space where we're telling them to hide their emotions. It's already society-wise, if you are a Black man or woman and you display any type of anger, and we talked about this when we talked about George Floyd, that you are seen as a threat. You are seen as, okay, no, that's the angry Black woman. Why can't we allow our children to express the same emotions? And I think that is, we're creating these generational traumas by having them or projecting what we had to do when we were growing up onto them and forcing them to do the same thing. Just because our parents did it to us and their parents did it to them and their parents, does not mean that that's the right way to do that. And so this is the conversation that I want to have about what that is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So same thing. Right? Having a Black husband, same thing. That's what he was nurtured to believe, right? And so a Black brother, Black brother-in-laws, having to have that conversation very, very early with the men in my life that I knew would be our son's village, having to tell them that, hey, I understand why and where that thought and that school of thought comes from. However, we are going to be their safe haven of emotions. And my desire has always been to teach my sons how to manage their emotions, not for them not to cry, but for them to genuinely sift through what they are experiencing. So as they got older and more mature and their understanding of life, you know, as a 3, 4, 5, 10, 12-year-old, the conversation changes around their emotions. It's no longer you can have a tantrum. It's no longer that. When you're 2 and 3 years old and your language is limited, have a tantrum, by all means. But when you're done with that tantrum, we're going to have an age-appropriate conversation. I'm going to begin to teach and train you now and let you know, hey, you are more than welcome to have your emotions. However, I need you to begin to identify what is worthy of your emotions. That's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Very different conversation. And so that became the crux of what I wanted to base our training on with them. And so for a long time, I had to remind them, hey, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge piece, managing their emotions and what's the appropriate response.
And teaching them how to really discover and dig into their feelings. Because I'm going to be honest with you, even as an adult myself, I often will use an opinion and call it a feeling. I will take a thought and call it a feeling. I'm still unlearning and relearning what it means to express and to verbalize my emotions, right? So if I'm having a conversation with my son who was upset, and that whole straight A student situation is excellent because that's legend. He is the world-class student of the whole entire universe, okay? When he got his first little C on a test, baby lost it.
Hmm.
I had to let him have that experience, investigate and identify and process. And from that, I had to teach him how to properly assign values, how to look at what a C means. A C does not equate failure. A C means, okay, either you are missing something in the curriculum or you weren't taught the best way to understand said curriculum. That's all it is, right? Son, grades don't define you, they're indicators, right? Boom, I have to shift his paradigm. But I have to let him have that emotion so that he can remember and tie his value to that experience. If I had told him, shut up, you can't cry, and we didn't go into a deeper conversation, I didn't allow him space to analyze and to process what he was just experiencing and feeling and what he associated that grade with to his person, what would he have been taught?
Mm-hmm.
What would he have learned? Nothing at all. He would have learned that this is still a failure. This sucks. This could have distorted his confidence, his peer view, his perspective of himself. He would not have wanted to share when he didn't do well or excel on his own standard, right? No, that opened the opportunity for he and I to bond at that level where anytime he is going into something and he's nervous about how well he'll do, my son will come to me and say, Mommy, I have this quiz. I need you to pray for me and be praying for me through it. I need your support, Mom.
And that's the part. It's that part right there, right?
Yeah.
Because the level of the not the level of the relationship, but how much of the investment you've put into the relationship holistically that will dictate that, right? I think a huge thing that men believe is that if they're not with the person that they're, you know, their children's mother, yeah, that the daughters belong with the moms, the sons belong with the dads. And to me, that's just the most caveman-ish mentality to think that, to think, because a lot of times men, these, like, especially if you're a man who was raised by a single mother, like, would you let your daughter date the man you are? Would you be okay with the man you are if your son was exactly like you dating somebody else's daughter? And if you're comfortable with the man that you are, that your mother is responsible for that, right? So to me, to think that the best way, and I'm not gonna say the only way, because I don't know that they're all saying the only way for your son to be the best version of himself is to be raised with his father. But to think that that's the best way, right? That's one way that it could be. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the best way. And so it's about what are you, it's not enough to just, like, if you are just as busy when your child's not there, when your child is there, you're still gonna be just as busy. To me, that makes sense. So it's about how you are investing in that relationship, that your child feels that they can come and tell you, look, this girl broke up with me, or this boy broke up with me, let's have a conversation about it. Or, hey, something not right, you know, I don't know what I'm going on. Or it's that, you know, your daughter gets her first period, or your son gets his first, you know, he not supposed to be out there sexually active, and now he done caught something. So now he like, oh, I got an itch, or I got a burn, what the hell? And, you know, it's that, because they're gonna talk to somebody. What you want is for them to talk to you. You don't want them to go talk to somebody else.
Yes. Girl, listen. Everything you said so far, my brain is on rapid fire right now. Okay? So I'm going to try to wrangle it in really quick. Relationship allows you to create the appetite of the things your kids are into. It does not negate that they'll have social influences and, you know, a good friend might try to introduce them or X, Y, Z, right? But you have to compete with the world as it is.
Amen.
You don't have room not to invest. We don't have it. Because if we're not invested, we're throwing them to the wolves. And we're perpetuating generational curses. So if we are not doing the thing that we need to do and we're not investing and helping them to create the appetite of the things that they will and will not accept, their aversions, the things that they're receptive to, if we're not investing that energy, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're finite. All we have is our intent and our intentionality, but intent don't always cut it.
And you can only invest is you can only invest as far as you have allowed your experiences and your healing to formulate that, right? Because if you are somebody who didn't grow up with your father, or you grew up in a home of domestic violence, or you grew up in a home of where you were sexually abused, you were molested, God forbid, you have to work through those things, because you are still, you're going to see things through your lens. You're going to see things through your fear. You're going to see things through your anger, how you felt when you were a child, or something that triggers something that you thought you forgot, but you merely suppressed. And that's going to come to the forefront. And now that's what's driving your conversations. That's what's driving the thoughts in your head. Well, they must be doing this, or did, or, you know, you have to work through those things. And one thing that I cannot understand for the life of me, but I understand that this is a thing not just in Black males, but in Black community as well. The inability to want to seek out a therapist, right? To want to go see a psychiatrist or a psychologist, because we don't want to talk about our feelings, but also we don't trust their asses, right? Just like we don't trust medicine. Some people not getting vaccinated because we don't trust you, because CPS is not designed for family unification. It's designed to take your child from you. It's designed to break up families. CPS works just like the law works, right? In terms of criminal law. It is meant to where can we get slavery? In a penal system. So it's meant to just wrangle up Black and brown men. CPS is meant to break up Black and brown families, right? When we see kids being medically legalized, kidnapping, I don't see no Asian kids. You know what I'm saying? And when I do see a white kid, a white family, they're not American. So I have to like, this is where, but we have a fear of going to talk to these people, you know, whether we have said that out loud or we're not cognizantly aware of that's the reason why we don't want to go. But we have got to figure out a way to work around that, because we need that. It's not enough to just talk to your friends. Sometimes it's not enough to just be in your Bible and be in your word. Now you need that. That's something you like, okay, we're picking up tools. Take your Bible with you, right? Take your friends, your wise counsel with you, but you still need to see somebody, a professional who can help you work through those issues and identify where those gaps are, identify where your narratives are flawed, where your thinking is flawed, so that you can be the best parent for your children, male or female. And I think for boys, it's hard because fathers don't want to do that. Fathers, I mean, come on now. My dad died, had cancer. I didn't even know he had cancer. You don't communicate that something's going on with your health. You don't do that because maybe you think it's a sign of weakness. That's unacceptable to carry that with you as a crutch when you are responsible for someone else, when you are responsible for investing in someone else and in creating a legacy. That person is your legacy. You have a duty. You are breaching your duty. You are failing your children when you don't do that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000,000%. 1,000,000%, all of that, all of it, all of it. And just to touch on that, now we know the history of why we don't trust medicine, right? However, there is beginning to be such grand representation where I feel like God is removing all excuses. I really do. I have a fantabulous Black female psychologist, MFT. She is amazing. Been going to her for 2 years. It was beautiful the way that God set it up for me. It was right when I decided to go full-time in entrepreneurship. And I had an overwhelming sense of God telling me, you need to go see somebody, because where I'm taking you, you can't go with all what you're carrying. I wouldn't continue to operate at such a high level and such a high frequency when it comes to my own emotional well-being, that of which of my children, my encouragement to my husband for his own psychological and mental and physical and emotional well-being. I would not be equipped to do that. I wouldn't be equipped. Now, when I have a certain experience, I can recognize it immediately, like, oh, that's a trigger for abandonment. Oh, that's my trigger for feeling devalued because this is what happened in my home. Oh, right? So now when I'm discussing things and having conversations with my children, I'm no longer projecting. From the time my children could communicate at all, I have always inserted them in their experience of their upbringing. I'm not saying I let them make world-class decisions. What I am saying is that I often would check in and ask my children, how is mommy doing? How have I been? What would you like for me to improve? What would you like for me to stop doing? Right? And if they said specific things that I had to teach them and tell them, like, okay, well, thank you for that. I can't stop doing this, baby. And let me tell you why. Right? We have to begin to teach them why? Because we get to instruct their thinking. We get to support them in that way. You have to have a well-balanced person.
Amen.
To help you learn to be a well-balanced person. You know, the B word is a bad word for me. What I mean is a harmonious lifestyle, right?
Word.
But ultimately, when I'm saying balanced, people can understand that, right? You have someone who is not, I'm not by any means saying I'm perfect, that I'm great at everything. But what I do know is that my decision to do well in anything comes from a space of humility and as a learner. I let my children teach me how to love them so they can learn to teach people how to love them. If I don't make it a safe space for my children to correct me as their mother, their parent, what is going to happen when they are faced with peer pressure? They gonna fold. But I told my kids from day one, I said, bro, if you can disciple and correct me, you better not let a geek off the street tell you nothing that
Word. Hit them with that Warren G regulators real fast.
You understand? Fact. And I taught them, if you're around people, we're on a mission for the Lord. We are here to spread the gospel. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Anybody that you consider a close friend, if they're not adding value, they are not to be in your circle.
Word. There's this piece, this paper, that's titled Unharm Our Sons, Black Father, Masculinity, and Mental Health. And a excerpt from that says, historically, Black men have opted into toxic masculinity to preserve their sanity and to protect and provide for their families. Beginning with slavery, America's socio-political structures and institutions have upheld a racially stratified patriarchal class system that, to varying degrees, has oppressed everyone except wealthy white men. This reality, coupled with a desperation to escape racialized poverty, left Black men with no other choice but to attempt assimilating into the dominant culture. And so the idea of to be a man, to be a father, is to bring back money, right? I'm bringing back money to my home. We have to get out of poverty. I don't have time for you to sit down and cry, right? We've got this Black toxic masculinity that we just keep passing on generation to generation and generation and generation, because we're going to say Black men are teaching their sons that, and even some Black mothers, because they got some Black mothers out there that's just like your girl off of Precious. Who, it don't matter that she talking to a daughter or she talking to her son. She like, no, you better man up. You better get it together. We don't got no sissies in this house. Ain't gonna be no crying, no whatever. But what we are doing, male or female, mother or father, is that we are teaching our sons to disregard feeling vulnerable. You cannot feel vulnerable, right? You cannot be vulnerable in this home. You can't be vulnerable in the world. And you can't be vulnerable in this home because you can't be vulnerable in the world, right? You can't do that. Or it's the other way around, right? I couldn't cry in my house, so I can't cry out here. I can't show any emotions. And so we look at showing any type of emotion. We look at showing, and I think maybe we lean into anger because white people already think we're angry, right? So maybe that's the emotion that we subconsciously allow, or like, okay, you can do that, or you got to be stoic, right? But don't cry, because to do that, that's something that's unhealthy. We're not going to, like, look, you're going to get picked on. You're going to get beat up on. We are protecting you. No crying. So then we're teaching our sons to build this barrier between their external and their internal selves, in that space where their emotions are. There, you can't have none. No emotions can exist here, right? You have got to get rid of that. You have got to carve that out. We've got to excise that out. We got to perform surgery, whatever that is, because the only way for you to survive in this world outside of this house is to show no emotions, right? And so showing no emotions goes further than crying. It's, I can't say I love you. I can't say I love you. I can't say I'm proud of you, son. I just give you a hug and I rub your shoulders and I pat your head, or I give you a long hug or whatever, you know. And I feel like a lot of times when I see, like when I saw growing up, I would see older men, like they're frail. They're at that place where that's whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've already built up this narrative about myself. So now I'm on the way out. I'm going to lean all the way in, when you should lean all the way in your whole life, not on your way out. And so you're sitting there and you're just like, look, I'm proud of you, but I don't say I'm proud of you. I don't say good job. I don't say that's, yeah, you got A's. That's what you're supposed to be doing at school. You don't work. Like, it's okay to say I'm proud of you. You did a good job. Like, yes. And like, you did it. One of the things that I love about my baby is, and he started this, because I would be like, you did it. You did it. You know, whatever. And he'll be like, we did it. We did it. And that's so subtle. That might be, you know, whatever, but for a minute, but it was going over my head. And then I was like, that boy keeps saying we did it. And I'm just like, so now I'm trying to show him the difference between, like, if he does it completely by himself, you did it. It's okay to take credit for what you did. And if we did it together, then we did it together. But it reminds me that we are a team. It reminds me that we are connected. It reminds me that he is learning everything from me, that even when I don't think that he's paying attention, he is. And that I have a job to always be on my enrichment shit, to always be on my investment shit, because he is always watching.
Bruh, if that ain't the realest thing you ever wrote, player, listen. Okay, listen. They always watching. That's why I do as I say, not as I do. It's stupid. That's why it's stupid. And I just want to go back real quick when you talk about the masculinity part and how it forces our men into one emotion. So if you think about it, you know, I don't cuss, so let me see. It's a mind freak, because it plays into the industrialization of our men. Because, hey, don't be angry, even though I'm poking the mess out of the bear. Because if you be angry, I'm going to put you in jail. You're going to work for me for free. However, it's the emotion that we run to. We don't even realize the psychological warfare, because if they can have your mind, they have you forever. You indoctrinated.
You are never
immersed in the thought process. The moment you give up your God-given freedom to express all emotion, every single human in existence was blessed, gifted with the ability to emote. If you look out through all the Old Testament, David, Solomon, he tore his robe and wept. Are you kidding me? What do you think that looks like? Imagine that with me. He cried so much. He cried tears of blood. That's our Savior. If he is emoting, how do we, made in his image, accept this instruction to not
emote?
How? It goes against our existence. Period. It goes against our existence. And that is why I made it a point. My mother did some rough things in my childhood, but one thing she always did do, she did affirm my existence, because she told me she loved me all the time. And she told me that my skin color was amazing.
It's that part. Saying I love you affirms your existence, that you were here, that you existed, that you were a person, you were present. You contributed something, however long or short your life was, when you were here. And so that space. And I think the other thing that we don't recognize, right? When we tell you as a black man, a black son, a black man, you can only exhibit one emotion, is that sometimes men think, or even mothers, like I said, think that I'm doing this to protect you, but because the world's gonna harm you. But on the other side, they're being harmed on this end too. Like, we are in a space right now. We are in a global pandemic. Just in this country alone, over 600,000 people have died to COVID. We're not even talking about millions if we talk about around the world. People are quarantining. People are having to spend the most time they've ever spent by themselves in their own thoughts right now.
Yes.
We are telling them you can't show no emotions. The emotions that they bottled up for so long are the emotions that are now coming out, right? That they're exhibiting at work, that they are taking their lives. Suicide is up. Depression is up. Because now you are having to be faced with the things that you've been suppressing. And so we're doing them a harm on the other end. And to me, my mind works that if there's, you know, I forgot if it was Hippocrates or something that said, do no harm or something. But if we look at it, that there's a harm that the world's doing, and then the harm on this other end, if the harm is going to be there regardless, why shouldn't I? I'm not running. You can't run from it.
Yep.
So why not? Why not allow our sons to express those emotions in a healthy way, understand why they are feeling those emotions, understand what's the consequence of feeling those emotions, what's the consequence of expressing those emotions the way that they choose to express them outwardly. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And if that's the conversation that we need to be having with them. That's the healthy discourse that we need to be having with them, and creating that safe space and holding space for them, right? Because they're gonna fuck up. So holding space for them to do that, and not making them feel like they're the worst person, that they're the biggest fuck up, that they're whatever, like holding space for them. Because just like we are parents, and God is our parent, Jesus, and he gave his only son to die for us. God knows what we're going to do before we do it. This ain't our first rodeo, right? Just like our parents knew what we was going to potentially do, we know what our kids are going to potentially do. I was just like, and we're in a different day where social media is feeding them, right? They're not just, you know, you used to just get bullied at school when you went to school. If you didn't go to school, you didn't get bullied. You're getting bullied on social media. So you have to create that space and understand that they're going to mess up, hold space for them to mess up, because you knew it was going to happen, right? You knew they were going to mess up. Maybe you didn't understand the severity or to the extent that they were going to do it, but knowing that they were going to do it, and being that it's okay to do that. It's okay that you did that, but moving forward, we got to handle that a better way. There's a better way to do it, right? Now, I'm enlightening you. I'm investing in you because I love you, because you matter, because I am affirming your existence. However, now that I've enlightened you, the next time you do that, you made a choice.
There's a consequence to be had. Exactly. Exactly. And even that, around our language, I don't allow my children to use punish, right? You're going to punish me. No. You're going to serve the consequence of your choice. Consequences are not always negative.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? So teaching them language. Language is huge. Huge. Statistics show that we believe more than 80% of what we tell ourselves. So if the language around how we speak is going to be the language we use when we think, what are we going to give birth to?
Amen.
So let's make sure that we're monitoring and we're doing that as well. You have to understand that language is powerful, right? Be it positive, encouraging, enriching, whatever you want to say, nurturing, right? And it's just like you were saying, when it comes to having space for them, they're going to make mistakes. When my kids break the glass, my only requirement is that they tell me. When they break something around the house, I only ask them to tell me. I'm not about to go eight over a glass being broken. My mom would have 15,000 wine glasses. And if one broke, you would have thought that you brought on World War V. She would have a conniption.
That would.
And I'm noted, not doing that. Right? Now, of course, it's one thing if I'm like, hey, when you guys are in here, don't play ball in this area. Because that frame can't be replaced. Don't break my frame. Now, you break my frame, your issue is that you were disobedient. That's what I'm addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Not that you broke the frame, but you were disobedient. That's a heart issue, right? So even that, nurturing and addressing the heart issue of our children, not just the behaviors. And it's the same thing. We have to unlearn and relearn. Because why? We got what I just described, right? I would want to call corporal punishment for something that deserved a spank on the head. It's like we're children. We're kids. We're going to blow it. And then I would watch her break a glass and not have that same energy with herself. So what did that tell me? So it's all these things, right? We done gone super deep. But it's true. It's like all of these things. And I'm grateful for the conversation going this way, because I'm hopeful that what it will do is it will spur on a wealth of thoughts, a wealth of reflection, right? Because we are talking about what it looks like for our men to be present with our children, right? However, these are the things that go through our minds. It's a complete imbalance when our children don't have both of us whole, right? Or pursuing wholeness.
Whole.
Both of us really making sure, you know, as you so eloquently put, being on our growth stuff. Right? You always have to be thinking about that. It is human nature for us to grow, right? But it's a grave disservice, because God's design is for them to have both of us. Because each of us are wired and able to do and be and see things, right? As women, we are naturally strategizers, because we are blessed with discernment and foresight, right? Men have foresight and discernment, but in a different arena. So when a man is able to operate whole in what his design is, and the woman can operate whole in what her design is, magic happens. Because now you don't have a woman who is trying to compensate for the male figure, the parent, the father in their children's lives, trying to compensate for the things that they ought to be prioritizing. And then between the two of them, they're not butting heads.
Mm-hmm.
There's a united front. There's an opportunity for everyone to excel and to do well. And then what? We're modeling healthy relational exchange and experience for our children. That's the legacy. I can teach my kids how to make a dollar one way, west and north. They'll never lose that. I don't care about that. Legacy to me actually has less to do with money than it does to do with character enrichment. If I can teach my sons how to make right decisions, we're in a store. Honor wants the biggest $200 Nerf gun. Son, if you spend $200 on this Nerf gun, what are you going to have left to do with?
I think Go ahead. I was going to say, I think that's the difference that you brought up, is the difference between legacy and generational wealth, right? We use that interchangeably, that it means the same thing, and it doesn't. Legacy and generational wealth are two different things, right? You know, generational wealth, when I think about generational wealth, I'm thinking about monetary, right?
Yep.
The wealth that's going to pass down, right? Buying up real estate, buying up land, so that that passes down from generation to generation to generation, right? We talk about businesses and wanting to be able to pass that down, but I'm in the legal thing. Unless my child wants to be a lawyer, this don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, no, unless my law firm is a corporation, a business, and not necessarily in the space of being a law firm in the traditional sense, that's not it. Right. So generational wealth is that idea of passing down money, right? Finances, security, the ability to be a entrepreneur, the ability to be a humanitarian, and to do that without having to work for somebody else, versus legacy, right? It's what legacy not just the legacy that you leave as a parent that you when you leave the earth, but the legacy that you have, your child is gonna be a legacy, right? One thing Jay-Z always says is like, you know, Jay-Z said, he's a businessman, but he's also a business man. Like, I am a business. Like, what legacy, when we die, we have left something in our children, right? What does that look like when it's reflected out to everyone else in the world? How are they able to deal? How are they able to cope? How are they able to be a better parent? And we're not going to get that right all the time. We're going to mess up because we're not perfect. We're still learning, constantly evolving. And that place that you talk about where of reaching a place of wholeness, just to be clear, that this is not okay. Reaching a place of wholeness is not, there's this line in the sand and I just got to get to that line. Because you need to be constantly evolving. Wholeness is going to change. Wholeness changes with your experience. Wholeness changes with life. Wholeness changes so many with your walk with Christ. Your like a lot of having children, being married. God forbid something happened to your health. The idea of wholeness should be constantly evolving. It shouldn't be stagnant. It shouldn't be stagnant. Just like if you are a professional with a resume, you can take the same resume and use that same resume and apply to a bunch of different jobs in a bunch of different areas, and you're probably not gonna get no callbacks. Or you could constantly change your resume to cater it to this specific job. And so just like I had to learn that, right? You have to constantly, this thing of wholeness is always going to change. The measuring stick is always going to change. And you have to be okay with knowing that. Just like that, the idea of being, you know, a parent, your children are gonna need different things at different points in their lives. You need to be able to pivot. You need to be nimble. You need to be flexible. You need to hold space. You need to be a confidant, a secure place for them to be the most authentic version of themselves. Good, bad, or indifferent. So I'm like, obviously we are super passionate about this topic and I want to continue this dialogue. And I think for the first time, I want to continue this dialogue and maybe even start it off on part two, just around a movie. And I don't know if you saw the movie Yoli, but it's Malcolm and Marie. It's on Netflix. It has Zendaya in it and Denzel Washington's son, John Washington.
The best. Listen, I'm speechless. I sat there and I was just like, really? I felt like it was a masterpiece.
So we are definitely gonna continue this on a part two, and we're gonna talk about that. And the reason why I want that to be the crux of the conversation is because there was so much range in such a small window. When you think about a movie, right? A small window is so much range in acting, but range of emotions. And that just lets you know, like, all of the things men go through, and that's what leaning all the way in looks like. And so I definitely want to talk about that. And I'm probably gonna, I may have another guest on with us this next time when we do it. But I definitely want to talk about that movie and, you know, what, again, leaning into these emotions. And again, before I end this podcast, one, I want to say thank you, Yoli, for coming on. I definitely want to give you an opportunity to plug your social media, how people can contact you.
Absolutely. Please, you all, follow me on Instagram. It's freely_Yoli. And you can tap into my content. You can tap into who I am, what I stand for, what I believe, and why this movement is so vital. As you can see, it's multifaceted. So I would love for you all to plug in with me. If you want to, you follow me, shoot me a DM. We can definitely have a conversation around how we can honestly assign value. You have to assign value. You cannot allow values to be dictated to you. You have to assign your values, just stand in agreement with those, establish boundaries, and learn how to execute them to protect your values. Yes. So please plug in with me. I would definitely love to see you on your journey to freedom.
Yes, yes, yes. Because what? Balance is basic.
Basic
as fuck. She not gonna say that. I did. But definitely. So definitely thank you for tuning in, listening to the podcast again, Mommy and Wild Black, hosted by your girl LT. You can check us out on social media. So on Instagram, it's Mommy Ing, MommyIng, Wild BLK. And then on, if you want to visit our website, it's www.mommywildblack.com. And then also listeners. I have an email address, so you can definitely send me listener letters, any suggestions, any questions, topics you want to hear about. You can email me at momgoals@mommywildblack.com. I love to hear it. I'm definitely going to take it into account, any and all feedback. I appreciate it. And I hope that you will tune in with us for part two of this, when we definitely break down Malcolm and Marie. And so thanks so much again, Yoli, for being on here. And thanks you guys for tuning in, and have a great day.